Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today, I have somewhat one of my dear friends, but I want to say more of a mentor to me. She has a long list of things. I feel like we're similar in this aspect of things that she's done. But she is a fellow entrepreneur as well. And I'm so excited to say now a best-selling author also of her new book, Maker to Master. She's the owner of the Ribbon Print Company in Highland Park, and she is the host of the podcast, Gift Biz Unwrapped. I want to welcome my dear friend, Sue Monheit.
Jen, it's so exciting to be here. I love that we're doing this together.
I know. And I mean, I don't know how long ago now it was that I was on your podcast.
It was about, well, over 3 years ago, because I'm getting close to my fourth year already.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
I know. When did that happen?
That time goes by way too
fast.
And if I talk about how many years we've known each other, that's another question.
At least a decade.
Yes, it has to be. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. But yeah, Sue and I met through the Highland Park Chamber of Commerce. But Sue has been, you know, such an inspiration to me and has really helped me with my own business, kind of, you know, with ideas and when I've gotten to crossroads, you know, with the evolution of Gen Z's and, you know, we know it's gone in many different directions, but you've really been a sounding board and helped me kind of, you know, steer the road and the path a little bit with, you know, all my endeavors. So I really appreciate you always being that helpful friend to me. I really do appreciate
it. Well, and I'm so proud. Look at where you've come.
I mean, you
were already successful, but you had higher dreams. There was something else you wanted to do.
Yes. So. And that's, you know, before that's a great segue actually into why I wanted to have you here today, because I really feel like you help people live a happier life through helping their careers flourish through a passion or hobby that they have. So what's better than to be able to do what you love for your career and work life?
Right.
But before we kind of get into what you're doing now, I want you to share a little bit of background about yourself. And I love the story of how your business has evolved. So please, please share.
Okay, so I just do like the bullet points because
I
have a lot of history
already.
Yeah,
you do,
already.
You
I'm
do.
A little
exactly.
older than you, so a lot of history.
Bullet points are fine.
But the thing I think that's really interesting, if I go way back just for a second, is my corporate life I loved. You know, I wasn't one of these people who wanted to leave because I hated my corporate life. Mm-hmm. I left because my children were growing older and I couldn't stop them in time and say, hold on, wait a minute, I'll be back to you when I'm ready.
Right.
Right?
growing.
Yeah, like that doesn't work. So I left something that I really enjoyed and really loved because I wanted to be a mom and what I would call a traditional mom. Cookies, home-baked cookies when they come home from school, stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure to have fit that into my life.
Yeah,
you know, so I had no choice but to stop. So I did. But business is in my blood. So, you
know,
sure. I think about 4 years later, I'm like, I'm back on the path. The kids were getting older now. My son was getting closer to driving. And so I said, okay, you know, I want to do something else. My old business is like, Sue's back in the market. How easy would that be to pick her up? They didn't have to train me. I could just jump right in, et cetera.
Right.
But I did not want to get back on there again.
Mm-hmm.
The corporate politics, you know, then since I had separated a little bit from it. And I won't go down this rabbit hole, but the point of all of that is what I learned in my corporate world aids me so much now. So anybody who's listening, who's sitting in a job 9 to 5, you know, working for somebody else, that's not a bad thing. You know, what are you learning and what will you be able to use later in life? You know,
that work-life experience is key.
Yeah.
For whatever you're going to do. And that's what you have to take it as.
Yeah.
You know?
So you take advantage of where you are, thinking about where you want to go, I guess would be the way to say that. So, I'm just really going to fast forward this. Mm-hmm. I decided I wanted to do a business out of my house because I still wanted to be with the kids, but do business. I started a gift basket business called Basket Time. I still love saying that
name. I remember Basket Time.
Yeah. Well, it didn't quite work out the way I planned because it grew so fast. Mm-hmm. And very shortly, I had to find a production studio, hire employees, great business, building, revenue, like the whole thing. But on the way, I found another product, which was a ribbon printer. This technology was brand new on the market. Everyone claims that they started it, not me.
Right.
You know, everyone's like claim ownership.
I just found it.
Yeah. But to be quite honest, it was terrible. The software froze. There was no support. Nobody of the small group of people who had these type of businesses, mm-hmm. nobody had ever used it to grow a business. So
right.
I was bringing the market overlay to it.
Okay.
And I remember saying, this is like that manifestation type thing. I remember
right.
saying what I would do if I had this business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was looking at it from the outside saying, oh my gosh, this is a golden nugget, what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my husband who's like, says, well, why not?
Well, why don't you do it?
Like, why not?
Right.
I'm like, and immediately, like I felt it in my heart. Immediately, mm-hmm. I'm onto it. So I wound down Basket Time, wound up Ribbon Print. Ribbon mm-hmm. Print is a company that is viable and growing right today. Like,
right.
growing significantly. It's a little bit shocking and surprising. But so what I do today is I kind of summarize it in I'm helping women who have a passion through a hobby or a craft grow it into a business. So I do this in two ways. One is the ribbon print company because that's a tangible product.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who are in the gifting industry who make products, who want to brand their product, customize ribbons, all different types of things on that end. But while I was doing that, to promote the ribbon printer, we go out to trade shows. And
right.
I have booths at trade shows, and I'd have people come to the booth. And, of course, you always want to understand where your customer is, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I'd say, well, you know, what's your business? Why are you here at this show?
Mm-hmm.
And I ran into so many people who said, I haven't started the business yet. But when I do, I really think I need this ribbon printer. Or they'd say,
wow.
I've started a business, but it's not making enough money.
It's
when
not,
I'm making
yeah.
enough money, I want to add this. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to add this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are all the people who aren't purchasing, you know, the other
right.
people.
Yeah,
you know, there's
yeah,
a whole nother
yeah.
set who are on their way, right?
Right, right, for
and
sure.
And so we'd get into the conversation, well, why haven't you started yet? You know, mm-hmm. or tell me more about your business, like trying to figure out, you know, anything, any advice I could give them. This is where my corporate life came back.
Exactly.
You know, things that I
yep.
knew from before. And I found so many people were stuck. And light bulb again,
mm-hmm.
that's like, I know how to do these things. And I would share with them what to do.
Like, I can help you.
I can help. And I'd have people come back to me a year later and said, Sue, I did what you said. It worked. Now what? And I'm like, seriously, you waited a year. Seriously.
Oh, my gosh.
And so that's when I started my podcast, Gift Biz Unwrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to show people that you can do this. It's not that hard. You need to know what to do, though. You know, but the
absolutely.
Individual steps are not that
no.
difficult. You just have to have the full package.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are afraid to start. There's all of that, too. But that then morphed into, which was my ultimate dream, of creating a program that people can go through. Let's face it. Now, my audience I define as gifters, bakers, crafters, and makers.
I love that.
So, you know, they're doing some type of a tangible product
mm-hmm.
because there are inevitable challenges with that group of people in business mm-hmm. that other, like, service providers and other people don't have.
Right. Well, that's a great niche. I mean, you found that, and being in that industry first with Basket Time and then, you know, moving on over to that, it just seems like a seamless transition.
Right. And having observed
and you know that
it
industry.
All,
right.
Yeah, and having observed it all with literally hundreds of
mm-hmm.
like boutique type shops all the way up to some big brands that you would know, right?
Right.
So I saw all of it in my corporate life too. So I had all this balance and all this knowledge. Sometimes I don't even know what I know until a situation comes up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then
and
I
you
can
have the answer.
Pull it back,
mm-hmm.
right? So now I also have a program where we work with people at a very reasonable price, I would say, because it's a membership program.
Mm-hmm.
And so people don't have to be stuck anymore. You know, people,
right.
you know, because the saddest thing to me is somebody who keeps saying, someday I'm going to do this. Some, you know, and then they just don't because they're afraid they don't know what to do.
Well, it's there's that fear aspect, of course, but the not having the information or the background. You know, I mean, for me, example, I didn't, you know, go to college. I went to trade school to become an esthetician, started working right away. And it was my experience, I think, working for MAC as a manager, that was, you know, that business experience that I never had. And then eventually opening Gen Z's, looking to local sources and the Chamber of Commerce and the city, and online really trying to find the information I needed to open a brick and mortar business and, you know, figure out step by step what I needed to do. But to have someone that can guide you in that makes it so much easier, because even though that's a specific niche, I feel like there's a lot of common problems or steps that people need to take, you know, and understand. So
there are, yeah. There are. I would say 2 points around that. The first mm-hmm. is, why should somebody who is a maker know business? Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
They know the tools. They've yeah. probably taken classes on skills. Mm-hmm. They might have attended conferences that bring them up a level. So they have all this knowledge. It's not just not in the business.
It's in
the
craft.
Creation of
yeah.
the art, mm-hmm. right? So that's really important. And I think the other thing that happens with people who want to start a business is they jump like 3 steps ahead of where they should be. Like the very first thing that they're thinking about is, what's the name of my business going to be? And mm-hmm. like, you know, they jump way ahead
right.
without laying some of the groundwork that you need to have a foundation for a stable company.
Mm-hmm.
And by stable, I mean profitable. So because you're, you know, if you're in this for fun, it's a hobby.
Right.
If you're in this for business, you want to be able to make some money, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So there's a lot of the things in the beginning that get forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads to people closing their doors. And we all know the statistics are so high that
it
people
is.
Get
it's,
started, they get excited, and then it's not working. And it's heartbreaking when people
have to close.
Very
heartbreaking
yeah.
To see. And, it, you know, it's not easy being an entrepreneur and having that courage and confidence to go out there and take that step. To live your dream. But, you know, a lot of times I think we do get ahead of ourselves, and, you know, there's so many little costs and things that we need to kind of budget and understand and know so that we're not setting ourselves up for failure. Because sometimes we are a little bit in over our head and it's like, okay, we need to take a step back or unfortunately maybe close or, you know, revisit options,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that we don't have all these expenses or debt or overhead.
Yeah, and there's also a few little tricks and gadgets to make all of this so much easier, to attract in customers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be out there like, you know, look at me, buy my stuff. There's ways to plan things so that people naturally are coming into you because they love what you do.
Right. And I think, too, you know, social media plays a huge kind of role and platform in that, where there are a lot of free services and options that we can get ourselves out there, get information out there, tools, you know, really show people who we are and be more personable to our audience instead of having that salesy, you know, which I think people are so hesitant towards of promoting themselves.
They're so worried about that. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I speak at the one of the conferences that I speak at is the National Gift Basket Association.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them know me because I used to be one of them with gift basket business, right?
Right.
Well, so I think this is 2 summers ago now. I was introducing them to live. Instagram live hadn't come up yet. You know,
mm-hmm.
Instagram stories
yes.
or live, but Facebook had. And so I got on stage, and I'm kind of the social media person for that group at that conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got on stage, and the very first thing I said is, all right, you guys, because I can talk to them that way. I know
right.
them all, right? I'm like, and there's a group, I'd say there were 200, 250 people there, something like
okay.
that. I'm like, 99% of you are not going to do this. And you're sabotaging
like, oh my gosh,
your business. And they're like, oh gosh, what is Sue going to say?
What does she want to have us do
What's
now?
What's she going to do? And you know what? I talked them through why live.
Mm-hmm.
I talked them through the imposter syndrome about, you know, like you're
yes,
freaked out.
Which
like,
we're going to talk about.
What if I don't have my makeup on? What if I don't say the words right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how am I going to show people like I don't have this beautiful office or warehouse? Like all of that. You know, I talked them through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I showed them tactically how you do it. Like we literally did a Facebook Live there. I'm like,
yeah,
this is
step
how
by step.
Easy it is, you
right.
guys. I'm so proud of them because so many of them, and I'm talking about not the ones I thought would,
mm-hmm.
but many of them are not only tried it, but are using it to grow their business.
That's amazing. And it's just encouraging people to step out of their comfort zone and be vulnerable. And I think when your clients and others see that vulnerability, they are just more attracted to you because they know, you know, you're a human person. You deal with day-to-day issues just like, you know,
you're relatable.
You do. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so it's an amazing thing and it is a great platform to use. And I know you do weekly Facebook Lives, right?
I do a weekly Facebook Live show. It's called Let's Get Busy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very structured show.
Yes.
And it's all under the Gift Biz Unwrapped umbrella, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I have my podcast. And then I also do Instagram stories. I'm not as good at showing up every day on Instagram as I should be. But I'm getting better and better at that. I go in like spurts.
Yeah.
And it's not for fear of doing it at all. It's just
fitting it into your schedule. Yes.
Yeah.
Time management.
Yeah. Yeah. But I am getting better.
That's great.
But the thing is, we all have heard it, with any business, you know, it's know, like, and trust. You have to know, like, and trust people.
100%.
And how do you better get to know somebody and feel comfortable with them when you're we're face to face here talking, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we can't always be face to face, but online through Facebook, you can be with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you also get found that way. So.
Right. And it seems like a scary tool, but it could be one of the most beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just you being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I started doing some more Facebook Lives, but I need to do a little bit more. And it's one of those things too. It's a time, you know, just time management with everything I'm juggling. But I think when I do it, people are really drawn to it and love it. And it's a great response.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're there for business, you also want it to have a purpose.
Yes.
Right. So it's one thing doing Facebook Live on your personal page,
right,
and you're just like hanging out and you're apple picking with the family or something,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's another thing when you're doing it for business on your business page, show some things about your life because that's, again, getting to know who you are. But there should be some type of an intent. There's a purpose why you're doing it. You're not just spending time getting on live.
Right.
And when there's a purpose, that also helps drive your content.
Absolutely.
What are you going to talk about?
People want to see if you're giving tips or tools or information. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the value.
That's the value. And I'll give you one little tip here, too.
Mm-hmm.
You always end a live with a call to action. CTA, they call it.
Okay.
So you always direct somebody somewhere. Either, hey, I'm so glad you hung out with me. Subscribe to my channel. Listen to my podcast. Download my freebie. You know, whatever it is.
Right.
So that if someone catches you for one time and they really like you, they can make that connection. And they aren't going to be, shoot,
where did I run into Jen again? Yeah,
like,
exactly.
How can I get back? You know, because then that gets lost.
Right, right. So you're definitely letting them know where you are.
You give them some direction. Go like our page on Facebook. Like, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything.
Exactly, something. But I like that. Making them go do something, I think that is very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be a paid thing.
Right. No.
At all.
Yeah.
So.
So I want to kind of go back a little bit and talk about a little more specifics about the ribbon print side of the business. So how can people utilize it? And I just know, and I have to say this when I walk into your office, and this is just the silly little girl in me, I guess, but seeing all the amazing colors of ribbon is like the best thing ever. So of course we have to talk about this for a minute. But how has this helped people propel their business forward? What is like a simple way that you can kind of explain how people can utilize that?
So the first thing I would say about the ribbon print company is to clarify what we do. So we sell custom ribbon printing systems so people can custom print ribbon right in their own shop. So we're not printing for people,
right?
Which sometimes people get confused about.
It's
we are enabling people to be able to print themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So gift shops will use it because they can customize either their bags, they can customize a unique gift, even instead of having a card. I could write "Happy Birthday, Jen" on that beautiful, gold
ribbon.
Necklace that you've been looking at.
Yes,
right. And what's so great about that is, people are willing to do that. You know, they're willing to spend a little bit of extra money and have the packaging customized.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that owner of that business is making more margin off of that sale without having a new customer.
Right.
Right.
It's an extra added bonus they mm-hmm. can, yeah.
So utilize. I'm really proud to say, and I love saying this, it gives me shivers still, but I'm so happy about it, is we had several customers come back to us during the recession mm-hmm. saying that the ribbon printer allowed them to stay in business because of that added margin that they were able to have.
That's incredible.
So there's things like that. Schools will use it for homecoming sashes, fundraisers. We have a lot of schools coming in right now. Florists, of course. Mm-hmm. People who make products, like let's say they make soft goods like bags or quilts or something like that. You can print your logo, so tags.
Okay.
So tons of creative ways to use it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
More than I can tell you right here.
Right. But who doesn't love that mm-hmm. customization? You
and
know,
some,
it just
yeah. And some and if someone is just a crafter, and I don't mean to say just
yeah.
But we were just talking about the business mm-hmm. aspect. I know crafters spend a lot of money on all of their equipment, right?
Right.
And people
absolutely.
Will buy the ribbon printer because they want to be able to print custom ribbon and add it to a scrapbook page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. So.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love it. I just love all the colors of ribbon.
Well, you know, I make that ribbon myself. That's my own brand. And we have a new color coming in.
What is it?
Teal.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
My gosh.
I have 23 colors right now. I'm going to max at 25 because you saw our place. You know,
oh
we have
God, yeah.
thousands of rolls of ribbon,
yes.
right?
All different sizes, widths. I mean, it's incredible.
So everyone's saying they need teal. We thought we brought in a
teal
color that would work.
Color.
I know. We thought we brought in a color that would work to satisfy everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We call it aquamarine, but it's more bright aqua-y.
Okay.
So now we're getting a true teal, and then we have one slot left for another color.
Oh.
But we're going to wait until someone really...
Until there's something good. Yeah, exactly. You got to wait
on
that. You don't need to rush that.
Committed.
Right.
We are committed for a long time.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my
anyway.
Gosh. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, too, a little bit about how you're helping entrepreneurs and what your education program looks like.
Okay. All right. So the first thing I'll say about that is these are two specific and separate businesses.
Yes.
The ribbon print company I'm building to someday sell.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere soon. Any of my customers who are listening to this, don't worry. People
right.
freak
you're
out
not
when
going
I say
anywhere.
That. But I say it by demonstration that one of the first things you do when you're looking at a business is, what are you trying to build? What's the intent?
Well, yeah,
why are you doing
it?
Yeah. So that's that one. The ribbon or gift biz unwrapped is something that I look at taking into the future until I decide I'm not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't need to be location dependent where ribbon print does.
Right.
You know,
it's not a brick and mortar. So it's great that you have this variety of businesses as a true entrepreneur.
Yeah.
More of an online base and a brick and mortar.
Right. And
location.
I'm slowly allowing ribbon print to run more itself. I have more people mm-hmm. working. I'm not filling orders like I use. Like,
right.
you know, it can work without me mm-hmm. so that I can focus on my Gift Biz Unwrap program. So the Gift Biz Unwrap program is, as we'd already talked about, the podcast.
Yes.
My big signature program is called Makers MBA. And it is
love that.
And it is for brand new. So someone who makes candles.
Mm-hmm.
Candles are my favorite thing.
I love that. Yes,
and if anyone listens to the podcast, they
yep,
know that
they
too.
They know that too.
So they do something like that on the side, and they're wondering if they can turn it into a business and have the dream of doing so, but mm-hmm. have no clue how.
How. Right.
It's also, and it's a membership site, so it includes a course and a community. So this is where I get to interact with everybody mm-hmm. is we do weekly Q&A sessions.
Okay.
And a lot of people who are in the program already had businesses, but they weren't working. They were in that other section where something either needs to be retrofitted back in so
right.
it's really solid, or they just want continual advice and, the biggest point, I think, camaraderie with other people who are like them.
Oh, absolutely. I think that having that support group
yeah.
is key.
Yeah.
Going
so
to somebody
yes,
when
yeah.
you know you're having issues or you know they understand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the course takes you through, okay, you're starting number one. Here's what you do. All the way through, every
mm-hmm.
single thing. I won't go through all of what that is now. But even to the end of how do you stay relevant in your market?
Mm-hmm.
So how
Very
do you
important.
Not turn into a Blockbuster who had a dynamite product for years and is now gone?
Right.
right? So how do you do that if you so choose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people want a business, go through the life cycle of the business, and then they're ready to close. They've had a successful business.
Right. Exactly. And that's okay, too.
That's okay, too. Right. So it really can be support all the way through. Mm-hmm. And some people, like people who are in baking and sweets, that's a whole different issue because you have, you know, different liability, commercial kitchens, home base, like all of that's in there. Brick and mortar is also a different story.
Absolutely.
So all of that stuff is included. And then the community around it with the Q&As and the coaching that we do, our coaching calls are every Tuesday morning. And just to give you an example, it has nothing to do with what's in the course because the course is all there, self-study, take it as you want.
Right.
But I'll give you the two topics that we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How do you decide on your first hire? Huh. How do you know when you're ready? When you are, what is the job? And then everything that's around starting to bring in an employee, because that's a big point where people, like, they all think they can do it themselves. But at some point, if you want to grow and you want some type of a life, like, how about maybe going on a vacation?
Right.
Right.
It's okay to ask for help that you need help.
Yeah. So we talked about that. And then we also talked about one person had a very specific job she's doing. It's the holidays now. So she needed help on figuring out her shipping, like how she was going to do shipping. There were some different nuances. It wasn't just like, okay, you put it in UPS and it goes.
Right.
There were some different issues with that project.
Mm-hmm.
And so not just me, but everybody who showed up was able to add their two cents if they had anything to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously these calls are, you know, if you can show up, you can show up. If not, they're recorded.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah. So someone who might not need that now might need it in a year.
Right. So that's a resource.
Right? A resource, or they can listen and have some understanding and some knowledge and know it's there. So it's developmental all the way along. And
awesome.
We've got just such a great group of people.
But that's so important. I mean, you have the course, you know, all of the information you need is there, solid, great. You can always look back at it. But having that continuing education and things that do just come up, like holiday time, you know, hiring somebody, these are all very relevant topics that people need to know or may come across or never realized when they're first starting their business that this is going to be something later on that they're going to, you know, come upon. So I think that's great to be able to have this community and not only on yourself, that it is everybody else, because everyone comes from different backgrounds. So being able to share their experience and knowledge as entrepreneurs or being in the corporate industry, whatever it may be, can have answers to those questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of very intelligent women.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. Yes. Empowering women.
Absolutely.
Best thing. So that being said, how did you come to writing your book?
Okay.
I know that's a topic, but I did start reading it, and I'm like at chapter 12. It's amazing so far, and there are a couple of things I want to touch on. But your book is called Maker to Master, and it says on it, which I'm gonna read from right here: find and fix what's not working in your small business. So this is basically taking all your knowledge and experience and some of your educational, you know, your coaching program, I'm sure everything kind of fits in, but helping people understand how to realize their dream and begin their business.
Yeah, I wrote this book. I didn't really realize that this was the angle it was going to take, but this is the book, and I talk about this in my webinar, which we may be getting to at some point. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm actually hoping they never have to read this book. Because this is for people where they've started and it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it either isn't getting traction, they're not making money, and it's just that. It's just what the byline is. Find and fix what it is.
Right.
And so we go through all different things of, you know, you're not getting customers. Here's how you should look at getting customers. Like, it's just a million different things, checkpoints along the way that you can then analyze up against your business or read as you're getting started so you see where some of the pitfalls are, what you should do. Of course, the program and the book somewhat go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing this book. I always wanted to write a book, and I really, really, really wanted to be a bestseller, which you don't have to be a bestseller to have a great book, but it was just, that was for me.
But that
totally
was just something you wanted. That was a goal.
Me. Yeah, it just, you know.
You went for it, yeah.
We can try and stoke our egos every once in a while. Right. That's all right.
Absolutely, right? It is.
And a lot of people start their businesses for that. They want to have the pride of saying they have a business.
Right.
The trick there is pride, because you can't have pride unless you have a strong business, mm-hmm. you know, or you're, you know, whatever. Yeah. But so anyway, so I had the book outlined for, I'm not even kidding, 2 years. Like all the chapters, everything was done. I just had to fill it in. And, you know, I have the other business to run and this and that.
You're a busy lady.
It was just taking the time to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I was actually out at a media event, Social Media Marketing World, mm-hmm. in March.
Okay.
And talk about, you know, you don't have to do this alone. I had been looking at a self-publishing school. I knew I was going to go the self-publishing route. There was no question. I'm not going looking for a publisher. Mm-hmm. That's not my point yeah. of the book, right? Right. And so I went to the booth. I told them where I was at. And I ended up hiring a publishing coach. So it wasn't a writing coach. It mm-hmm. was a publishing coach.
Okay.
And it wasn't cheap.
Right.
But I
know
decided,
we've talked about that.
I decided if I'm going to do it, what am I waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
And I decided this was the year I was going to get it done, complete everything. And so I bought into it. I made the commitment. And I'm pretty good at following through. I'm not one of those who says they're going to do something and not. That's
no.
not. I have other areas
right,
of
right.
problems.
I feel like you're very self-disciplined like myself, where, yeah. you know, self-motivated, where, you
yeah.
know, the things we need to get done, we get done.
We get done. Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, it was a labor of love, and it took a lot of time. I mean, I went back to Ribbon Print and talked with my assistant, told her what I did, and she's like, Sue, it's about darn time. You've been talking about this forever, right?
Yes.
Kind of like how I talk about people starting their business,
right?
Actually.
But you had, it was that timing. It, mm-hmm. it was the opportunity. You
well, and
it
I had been
dabbling.
It just, you know, and the thing was, I don't even know what the thing was. I'm not going to make an excuse, but then was the time. And so the story really is, so this company that I used talks about, you can write a book in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. And I'm like, okay, well, darn it. If it can be 3 months, I've already got it outlined. I know what I'm doing already.
You're ahead
I'm
of the
doing
game.
It. So a week shy of 3 months, it was out.
Oh my, of course it was. Of course it was.
I had to do that.
So, I'm like, overachiever. It was less than 3 months.
I had to do it.
Yeah.
I had to do it. But there were a lot of nuances I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like being able to rank high on Amazon. Oh, and not only that, but yes, I have to do the whole gamut because I'm in the mindset. So
of course.
It's Kindle, hardcover, and Audible.
It has to be available everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
If you're
so
going to do it, it's
it.
Got to be. Yes,
yeah.
I agree 1,000%.
Yeah. So anyway, so I'm really proud of it. I've been getting great feedback. And
it's amazing. I mean, like I said, I still have to get through it. But, you know, the first 12 chapters, and I say that it's a very easy read. And I love that it just gets to the point. Like, these are the issues you may be having. This is how I can help you. And it's so, I guess, just knowing you, I feel like it's so through your voice. Like, I could just hear you saying these things, which to me is even better because it does make it more personable. And it's things you would say. So
right.
I
wrote it as I would say it,
exactly.
as if I was talking
just
to
as
somebody.
If we were having coffee and having a conversation, your voice comes through beautifully.
Good.
So it's just,
good,
it's
good.
Really incredible, and it inspires me. I, you know, had even reached out to you. I mean, this is a goal of mine one day as well. And I feel like I'm where you were at with having everything outlined and the information. And I just, when the timing is right.
Find those 3 months.
Move forward. Exactly. Those 3 months. 3 is my guy. I love the number 3. But one thing that really stuck out to me was chapter 5. And this is just, you know, thus far. But chapter 5 is called Banish the Liar. And I think this is important because this is probably one of the most relevant fears, I would say, that people deal with in having a successful business or not, or achieving their goals. And you touched on it before, but it's what we suffer from is this inner critic, also called imposter syndrome. So tell us what that is for people who don't understand that.
That's that little friend that sits on your shoulder and says, why do you think you can do this?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you to think that these beautiful earrings that you've created are worth anything and anyone would buy them? Like, why are you thinking that that's even possible for you? Is it possible for everybody else in the world?
Right.
But why do you think it would be possible for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that hinders people so much. And the sad part of it is it never really goes away.
Right.
Never goes away.
So it's that self-doubt.
Yeah, it's that little
right
thing.
There.
And you know, it'll pop up anytime, mm-hmm. and you can be going great. Like you can be, let's say you go to a craft show and you're selling a bunch or you get feedback from everyone saying how great it is. Mm-hmm. That little friend of yours never leaves.
Right. And it's something that, yeah, I think that we deal with all the time. No matter, it's something that, I think it's finding that balance, but it's always going to be there mm-hmm. in things we do. Even like you said, if things are very positive and we're getting things accomplished and things are very successful, but it can just creep up and start making you lose that confidence mm-hmm. in yourself and that belief.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the thing you need to do is just recognize that it's there, mm-hmm. that it's natural. Really what it is your reptilian part of your brain mm-hmm. From way back when that was survival. You know,
right.
It looked around and made sure you were okay. Do you have to dash somewhere? Do you have to? Mm-hmm. Well, now it's elevated, it's sophisticated more into thought of the mm-hmm. other things, but it's really protecting ourselves. So it's a natural thing that's there, which is why you can't get rid of it.
Yes.
But the first thing you need to do is just identify that it is natural, everybody has it, and don't listen to it.
Right. And I think that's the key right there is that everyone experiences it. Everybody goes through this and might have those fears or self-doubt, whatever it may be. But the recognition of it and being aware and fueling that fear to kind of propel you forward, be like, you know what? I know this is, you know, deep down inside, I have this fear about moving forward with, you know, this goal of mine in particular, but I've got this. I believe in myself. I know I can do it. And also, I think recognizing what's the worst that can happen, you know?
Exactly.
And knowing what that outcome could be, then I think you know, okay, it's not as bad as I really think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
just
I can move forward.
Don't give in to that. You know,
right.
Just do it. Just move forward. Know it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. You already have your plan. Just do it.
Yeah. Because it's unfortunate, you know, and I mean, I've gone through this even with not only my business, but competing. You know, I think that's... there's a lot of pressure mentally. It's not just the physical aspect of stepping out on those mats and, you know, competing and putting yourself out there, and especially in like a fight sport, martial art. But you really, you know, you really have to fuel that into a different energy. And if you don't believe in yourself and have courage getting out there, then, you know, especially with the adrenaline dump and everything that can happen, it's like you're not going to be successful. So you really have to hone in on that, I think, that confidence and just go out there and give it 100%.
And could you imagine if you let that hold you back and you never did it?
Oh, yeah.
You were never at any meets. I mean, look at you now.
Right. Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be so sad?
Yes. It really would. I mean, I just know how much competition has evolved me and really made me learn more about myself and who I am. And it's given me so much confidence in my career, in my business, in my daily life. Because it's like, if I can do that, I can do anything. That gives me that confidence.
Right.
Because a lot of people, it takes a very special person to be able to go out there and do that. And that's why I encourage people and my students, too, to get out there on the mats and compete. Even if it's not something that they see themselves wanting to do all the time or it's a goal, I think it gives them an understanding of what it takes to get out there, to have that relationship with yourself, to get ready mentally and to be prepared and, you know, understand what your teammates go through. But I think it just, you know, on and off the mats, it just equates beautifully into life and our life lessons and the things that we have to deal with.
Right.
You know, and never giving up.
Yeah. There's another thing to this, too. And that is, so many people think that if they get started, they have to be a success right out of the gate. You know, mm-hmm. and if they aren't, they then are the worst word in the world, a failure.
Failure, yeah.
Right? And that's not the case. What you're doing, and I've mentioned this in my membership program too lately, is mm-hmm. we're talking about that it's an experiment.
Right.
You know, a lot of times, and I know in the sports field, mm-hmm. you know, Olympians, you know, the big meets, all of that, if you're brand new to competition, you start doing it just to have a feel and the flavor of the environment and how it is.
Absolutely.
And if you win, that's awesome. But if you don't, you're learning and progressing and advancing.
You win or you learn.
You win or you learn. That's a great way to say it. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing when you're starting a business, when you're putting something out for the first time. you want to get a reaction from a right. customer, from your prospects, mm-hmm. I guess I'll say.
Yeah.
And feedback. You know, what do you like? What do you not like? Are the sizes good? Are the scents good? Do you like the style? And then you continue to adjust mm-hmm. along the way. So you're not ever going to land it the first time. I mean, you might a little bit, but you're right. always experimenting and changing. But what we do is we all take it personally.
Right.
They hate all my jewelry, to yes. use that example, you know.
And it's okay, I think, to get your customer client feedback or to know what people like. It's just that evolution. Like, things are not going to be perfect, you know, especially from the beginning. It's like you want to enjoy that journey of the progress and how things change and what works, what doesn't work. And there is going to be a path. It's going to take years, you know, months for sure, but if not years. To kind of get to that place where you're like, okay, you know, things are going great. Things are running well. But really finding who you are and what your business is.
Right. Right. And then, but you can't, like you were just saying earlier, mm-hmm. you have to take that path to land it. Because I remember yes. when we would be talking about your logo. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was, what, 3 years ago? Maybe
four? Oh my
gosh. I don't know how long ago. That's not that really that long. Really.
No.
Right? But look at where you are now. I mean,
right.
such a solid brand,
mm-hmm.
you know, the different arms, you know, of what you're doing.
Yeah.
But you're so solid. You wouldn't have been able to get there without
right.
looking and thinking. And then also what feels right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go back to my
yeah.
Makers MBA again.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
I just rebranded it for the third time. But it was because none of them actually felt right.
Right.
None of it. The content was all there. All of that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was the imagery. The upfront
mm-hmm.
imagery just wasn't feeling right. Well, now we've landed it. I love it. I'm proud of it.
Yes.
It works, like everything. But before that, it was okay. It wasn't bad. But I also didn't have as much pride behind it as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So same type of thing with your logo
right,
and
exactly.
what other people are doing. Same thing.
Yeah. And it's okay. It's like, it's okay to, you know, because I've been through, especially with the logo, all of that, and my websites. This is my third website now that I've had. But you have to be okay with the fact that things will change. And depending, you know, you're going to change and evolve. And so is your business, you know, and your life. So being able to accept that and know that, okay, this is my first version. This is how I'm starting something. This is where we're at right now. But in a few years down the line, it's going to change into this, you know, and being able to go back and I think it adds like some freshness for yourself and your clients to see that. The branding, the services, everything can be the same. They may be a little altered, but having that new vision or face or graphic or whatever it is can definitely spice something up a little bit.
Yeah, and you want to freshen up your brand every once in a while anyway.
Absolutely. Definitely.
So, and, you know, things, styles change,
mm-hmm.
all of that. And I don't say at all that you'd make a brand going on trends, like trend
right.
colors
no,
or anything.
No, no, yeah, yeah.
But culture changes, too.
Yes.
Like, you look at now, you know, in some areas, people really like the retro stuff
mm-hmm.
or the old vintage,
yeah.
right? 10 years ago, people would be like, ew.
They'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That's going to come back in style. I don't know about that. But I think it is, you know, I think another really important thing to practice in business as well as life would be patience and, you know, having future goals and know that, you know, they may be a few years down the line. That's absolutely okay. And understanding how you can take your daily, monthly, yearly steps to get to that goal. But, you know, being patient and, for example, you know, I had my skincare brand that I created and I'm in the middle of rebranding it. But, you know, and it's been a labor of love, but I'm partnering with somebody and it's, you know, I've had to be a little bit more patient with it, but there's no rush. I want it to be, I don't want to say perfect, but I want it to be at the standards that I would hold it at. And I have the time to be able to do that. So there's no rush in getting something out. It's like when you feel like you're comfortable with it and it's at and looking to that standard that you'd hold it and you want to be able to put it out there for people. I think, you know, having that patience is really important.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, well, you're also making a product.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all of that quality control, labeling,
right.
all of that
exactly.
market position,
yep.
you know, the whole gamut
mm-hmm.
there. So I agree with patience. I see a lot of people, and this seems to be a trend, and I'm really loving it,
mm-hmm.
is a lot of people are starting their businesses on the side. You know, they're a mom at home with kids. Uh-huh. And so listen, that business may or may not be an income replacing business,
right?
But you're balancing it with your lifestyle.
Exactly.
And you've gotten started. And just like I was saying, when I stayed home with the kids, mm-hmm. I really wanted to kind of morph it and grow it slowly
right.
so that when they were out, mm-hmm. I had something
going
on.
You had something to go to, yeah.
It's not quite how it worked out for me, but
right.
A lot of people are doing that. So they're mm-hmm. still dabbling in, they're still building, they're still doing their craft, but it's only going to be at a certain point for some time.
Right.
Also, what I'm seeing, and I just love this, is women who are near the end of their career,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to retire at 65 or they're going to take early retirement, you know, whatever it is,
yeah.
aren't done with what they want to do with their life.
Right. You know, it's a new chapter.
It's a new chapter. We're so lucky now that we can do second careers.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are starting, guys too.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a ton of it with guys too, but I usually mostly focus on women, mm-hmm. but they know they want to do something else. So they get started 3 to 5 years before they're quitting their
right.
job, their day job, if you
yeah.
will, right? And so they're building something so that they can just step right into that,
mm-hmm.
and it's already developed. They're probably making money already, and then they can up the game at that point.
Exactly. And I think the risk is a little bit less there. You know, I mean, I went all in and basically, you know, stopped working and had the opportunity and went for it. But, you know, I was able to do that at the time in my life, and I had I have an amazing family that was able to support me while I was doing that. But, you know, that's not the case for a lot of people, and depending where they are in their lives, when they have families to support, they rely on that income of, you know, their 9 to 5. And having that passion project or hobby that you want to turn into a business, I think starting out slow is the best thing so that we don't get in over our head, and then it's not the stresses of debt or the fear of failure or the stress of having to produce so much because you have to meet this demand or, you know, these numbers, whatever it may be. But I think starting out slower is always better.
I am such an advocate of that. Now, you did it in a great way because you could do it, but you had support behind you.
Yes.
But I am not an advocate of someone, you know, and people have heard probably, oh, quit the 9 to 5, you're going to swim because you have to. You know, like just jump in.
Right.
I am not an advocate of that, and I'll tell you why. Then there's that sense that it has to get done. There's that urgency, and it comes mm-hmm. across in everything you do. It's super stressful for you, number one, so it's not good for your health.
Absolutely.
But it's a message of desperation that
yes.
people can sense underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't help with the process.
No, not at all.
Can you fight through it? Maybe,
it's something
it's a hindrance for
yeah,
sure.
And I think it definitely, you start feeling differently about something you once loved is now this, you know, this stress, the
Jen,
source
you're
of your
so
stress.
Right.
And
yep.
and then it just takes on a whole different shape. And I just, you know, I think that's really hard for people. And I was talking to a friend yesterday at lunch, and she's thinking about opening her own kind of like spa boutique cosmetic retail shop. And you know, it's not going to happen right now. She's still working in her career, but she'd like to do it eventually. And I said, listen, you know, if you are looking for a space and this is something you're going to want to do, rent is a fraction of all of your costs. So, you know, you may like that nice, huge, shiny retail space, but if you start out with something smaller, because you're going to have all these other expenses that you need to work in. So, you know, you can grow into an amazing space, but always starting out small and growing and having that problem, you know, that's a good problem to have. Then, you know, getting a huge space or spending all this money on product or inventory, whatever it may be for that business, and being way in over your head.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then needing the people to come in, because just because you have a
right.
shop on Main Street does not mean people are going to be walking in your door.
Exactly.
Unfortunately.
Right.
And, you know, I think you can't fault anybody because when people think about, especially products,
mm-hmm.
right, the way it always was you went to some location, you know, before Amazon and all the online
right.
stuff.
Right. Absolutely.
You went to some location to acquire whatever said product is,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's natural for people to think brick and mortar
mm-hmm.
right away. Again, there's all this stuff you should have done before you do the brick and mortar to make sure that you're successful. And if you do it well, by the time you're opening a shop, your shop's going to be awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
Already, right in the beginning.
Right. And now I think we have that capability of utilizing all these online services and platforms where, you know, people can have amazing businesses right out of their home where everything's online and you don't have that overhead of rent. You know, so there's so many, I think that's what it is. There's so many possibilities to create your own business in so many different ways.
Absolutely. And culture now, too, is, you know, it used to be frowned upon. Oh, you work out of your house. Well, that's not really a business, you know.
Absolutely.
And my audience who are crafters, it makes people crazy when they're like, oh, honey, that's so sweet. You've turned your quilting into a business.
Oh,
that's so sweet. You know, it's that. Like
it's not
playing,
a serious thing.
Like you're playing, right? And so that used to be the way home businesses were, too. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case anymore. Home businesses are as serious a business, and people understand that now.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the smartest, one of the smartest business decisions if that works for you and you can do it. Because, you know, it does save on a lot of revenue.
Yeah. I mean, there comes a point maybe when you can't.
Right.
You know, it just depends on what your model is, what you're doing.
Exactly. It's very individual for everybody.
Absolutely.
And every different career, you know, or business. Passion, everything.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is there, you had briefly talked about your webinars.
Yes.
A little bit.
So, yes.
Do you want to touch on that a little
more? Sure. So I have, it's an evergreen webinar. And what that means is people can resource it anytime, which is wonderful. Let me tell you where you can access it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'll tell you what
Please
it's
do.
About. So it's at www.giftbizunwrapped.com/masterclass.
Okay.
And if you go there, you sign up for the webinar, and I take you through how to start your business within 30 days. So this is a course for somebody who is thinking, like, what does it take to start in business? Mm-hmm. What are those steps that we've kind of been alluding to here?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just a little hint, you guys, the very first one sounds so lighthearted and easy, but it's probably the most important thing. That's all I'm going to say. But then, so the course is totally free to go through. It takes about 50 minutes or so, but you can do it on your own time. There's all these different times. And I did that because some people have full-time jobs. Some, like, I used to do it live. Now I've recorded it so people can access it as they wish.
That's great.
It leads into discussion of my Maker's MBA program.
That's perfect.
So for people who are interested, but it's solid content in the beginning,
right.
So you really can get a feel, and you can get a feel for me and how I talk and what you like, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it does lead into the Maker's MBA program, but it also leads in with a discount.
Nice.
So that's
very important.
So that's kind of special for your listeners if anyone's in that spot and interested.
Right.
So again, it's giftbizunwrapped.com/masterclass.
Awesome. That's great. And yeah, like you said, they can get a feel for who you are, who it's going to be, they're going to be learning from, and it's definitely more personable, but people are going to get a lot of information out of that. And if they decide they need the help to continue on, and that support group as well.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't, that's perfectly fine too.
They're
gotten
get
some
information.
Good information to get started.
Either way, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Sue, is there anything else that we that you want to share before we close out here?
Yes. If anyone's interested, I'd love for you to jump over on my podcast.
Yeah,
you're
please
obviously
tell
a
us.
Podcast listener, so
100%.
Just like Jen, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, it's all over the place. It's called Gift Biz Unwrapped, and what I do there is two different things. I interview people who have turned their hobby or craft into a business. So you get to hear how doable it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk with bakers and jewelry makers and candle makers. all different
amazing.
Types of businesses. And then I also talk with people who provide good services for that. So I've had Sue B. Zimmerman on, who's an Instagram expert, Vivica, LinkedIn. We talk about how to budget. We talk about how to control inventory. So all different types of things in that way, too. So that's a wealth of just free information that's out there available for anybody.
That's awesome. Sue B. helped me with my Instagram handle at JZ Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, that's right.
I'm like, I think that was the best thing I got from her.
That was fun.
That's amazing.
That was fun.
And if people want to email or contact you directly,
Sue at Gift Biz Unwrapped.
Excellent.
I think, and with the ribbon print company.com, mm-hmm. if anyone's interested in looking at what we have going on with the printers.
Excellent.
So
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come here today.
This is so fun,
and
Jen.
To share all this information. Well, I love you, and I really am. You know, people are going to be like, oh my gosh, Jen, you are always like, I love you. I'm so grateful for these people, but I am. I just feel so lucky to have so many amazing people in my life who have supported me, because we know. Being an entrepreneur and starting your own business, you know, it takes a village of people to support you. And having those people being your cheerleaders and believing in you when that imposter syndrome sneaks in is very, very important. And I think that's really what can lead to a lot of success. So I am very grateful for all these amazing people and friends that I have in my life. And I thank
you. Well, you attract them to you, Jen, because you're awesome.
Oh, thanks, Sue. So guys, as you know, any topics, questions, anything you have for me, for my guest today, Sue, anything that you want to hear discussed on the podcast, you can send me an email to gettingzenwithgenz@gmail.com. And I'll see you next time. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye.